the red button? Oh, it's already taped?
Yeah, it's already
taped. Okay, fine. All right, so let's turn to Avodah Zarah, Daf Tet Zayin Amud Beis.
Okay.
All right, so here is the question that we ask in E, Avodah Zarah 16b, 17a. You see it? What was Rabbi Eliezer's heresy? This is Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, one of the most commonly quoted Tanoim in all of Shas, in the Mishnah. And it says at the bottom of the Gemara, Tanah Rabbanan, Kishenitpas. Everyone see it?
Which one is it again, sorry?
So E.
E.
E. It says, Kishenitpas Rabbi Eliezer Laminus. Okay, right away, as I see a red flag. What do you mean, Rabbi Eliezer was apprehended because of Minus? So Rashi quickly tells us what this means. Right? See it with me? A lot of alternate versions down here. Not because he was accused of being a heretic, but minin tafsu lekufo la'avodat kuchavim. Some say minin romiim, but right, he was grabbed by heretics. Not that he was grabbed for heresy. Right, but okay, it says here what was his heresy. He admits that there was some heresy that he committed, something wrong that he did through this kamara. Okay. So Helula Gardom, Lidom. Gardom is the place where they decide whether or not to kill you. Right? Amalo, Oso Higamon. A Higamon, now by the time that Rabbi Eliezer was a Zokain, you can say it would be about the year 70, 80, 90. Right? Maybe even later. About the year maybe 100. Okay. So a Roman grabbed him and put him up for trial and said to him, Zokain shekemoscha, yasok bidvarim betelim halalu? A Zokain like you should be involved with such nonsensical things? What would the Romans consider nonsensical that a Jew should be involved in? Possibly Torah? Maybe to be a follower of Jesus? No. Okay. Danny, please keep your eyes on the censored texts coming up, all right? Keep an eye on it. All right? Amalo, ne'amon olai hadayon, I have faith in the true judge of how I will be judged. Kisavuro so higamon alav hu omer v'lu lo amara l'kaneged aviv shva shemayim, that the head of the court thought that he was referring to him, that he's, oh, I trust I'm going to get a fair trial from you. Instead he was saying, I trust I'm going to get a fair trial from God. But the guy thought he meant him, right? V'hu lo amara l'kaneged aviv shva shemayim amar lo ho'il v'he'emanti olecha Dimus paturato. That since you put your faith in this dimus, which is my authority, therefore I'm letting you free. When you go up to Gardom, you expect to die. But at the last minute, Rabbi Eliezer somehow was sprung. Right? Kishabala Beso Nichnisu Tamido Betzlo, Lenachamo, Velo Kibela Lov Tanchumim. When he came home, a free man, his students came to him to Lenachamo, I guess, to comfort him for his awful experience of being in jail. Right? But he refused to receive their comfort. Tarsheni lomar davar achad bimashali madatanu. Matani. Rebbe, please permit me to tell you something you taught us once. Amalo emor. Speak, my student. Amalo, Rebbe. Shema minus baliyadcha? That means maybe some heresy came to you, for which you can attribute this type of treatment. Pilan. V'hanacha. Turn. And you had some hana'a, or as Rashi says, yashar hadavar be'inecha. Maybe you saw some type of heresy and you thought it was worthwhile. The olav nitpasta, and maybe over that that's why you were taken. Amalo Akiva, he's kartani, you reminded me. Here is the crux. Here's the main story. Daniel gets his special here. Keep your eyes open for the center text. Pamachas ha'isi mahalich b'shuk ha'elyon shel tzipori, u'matzasi echod. I found a person. Look for his name. Yaakov ish kfar schanya shmo. Yaakov ish kfar schanya. Now you see, even on this page of Gemara, look at the bottom. Look at the bottom. You see that little note there? The svarim acherim. Can you read it? Can you make it out? It says, Echod Mitalmidei Yeshu Hanotzri. Okay. Now, there's a famous guy that makes his way in the Talmud called Yaakov Mina. Yaakov Mina. Yaakov the heretic. Tosfos right away says, take a look at the first Tosfos on the page, you see it? Tzarech lomar de'ein ze Yaakov Mina. Right? Not important so much. It's important for us to know why. It's just that Yaakov Mina interacts with Amoroyim, and this could, someone who Rabbi Eliezer ever spoke to could never have been the same person that Rabbi Abo interacts with. It was a different Yaakov. Apparently it was a name the heretics used. Okay? Alright. So he says, and I found a man named Yaakov from Kfar Sachnia. Omar li, ksuv b'torah schem. Once he says, it says in your Torah, it sounds like a man from the outside talking. Lo tavi esnan zona. Do not bring to the payment of a zona for a korban. You familiar with that law? Man hires a zona, the money he gives her can never be used for kachin. Right? It says, Lo tavi esnan zona. We're going, Mahu la sos hemenu, Beis hakise, l'kohen gadol. Now you see, it says Beis hakise, and you know, in the Mishnah in Yuma refers to that as a kise hakavod. That's what they call the bathroom in the Beis HaMikdash, the kise hakavod. Right? So it goes, Mahu la sos hemenu beis hakise, l'kohen gadol. V'lo amarti lo klum. Right? And he said, can we use the money, the hire of a harlot, to pay for something in the Beis HaMikdash which is not, you know, in that framework, a toilet. Alright? Amali, kach limdeni. Now, again, look at the censored note. Isn't that crazy? The Talmud Bavli quotes teachings of Jesus? Limdeni Yeshu Hanotri. Do you have it in your Gemara there? Do you see it?
Yeah.
You see it at the bottom? Yeah. He says, this is what Yeshu Hanotri taught me. Ki me'esnan zona kovtza va'ad esnan zona yeshuvu. It's a pasuk in Micha, Perek Aleph, where Micha refers to the despicable practice of the znus that existed in Israel at the time. And he made a drash from this pasuk in Micha. He says, what's wrong with that? Micha is giving us permission. If the money came from a disgusting place, payment for a harlot's hire, so let it go to a disgusting place, a toilet. And what did he say? V'hana'ini ha'davar. And I enjoyed the drash. Because to learn what to do from an Esnan Zona, from a Pasuk in Micha, Micha is a very important prophet for Christians, by the way. Because he makes reference to the Messiah from Beis Lechem. How would you respond to that? Who's the Messiah from Beis Lechem? David. I'm talking about something that hasn't happened yet. He's talking about something that's happened already. Right? There are two basic ways that we respond. That's the bulk of this course, is the Tanakh sections. But two basic ways we responded to polemics is to either say that when you say this refers to Jesus, it happened a long time ago, or it hasn't happened yet. Right? So I enjoyed the teaching. Al yedei zeh nitpasti l'minus v'avarti al ma shekasuv b'Torah. Harchek me oleh darkeich zu minus v'al tikrav el pesach besa zu haroshus. The pasuk in Mishlei teaches, do not have anything to do with a heretic, even if you think that there's something with which to derive benefit. You shall not have anything to do with the heretic. V'kedamri harchek me oleh darkeich zu minus v'haroshus v'al tikrav el pesach besa zu zona. Okay. So here's the bottom line. The rabbis tried to show at every turn that Jesus was the product of a woman and a man who was at war. His name, you ever hear Ben Stada? Stada? Jesus' name in the Talmud is Ben Stada, and his mother was a Zona. That's why he didn't know who his father was. So Christianity made a big deal about that. Of course he doesn't know who his father was. He doesn't have a father. How can you be from Shevet? Stada. Samach Tes Dalet Aleph. Ben Stada. Stada was the man's name. He's Ben Stada. Or just unknown. He's a shtuki. He doesn't know his father. Christianity worked on that and said, okay, of course he doesn't know his father. He doesn't have a father. His mother was immaculately conceived. How do you work out that you are from Shevet Yehuda? I don't know. Okay. What's the point here? This Gemara is a hidden way of saying that Jews should not be studying the teachings of Jesus or any Christian teaching, even if it has a halachic ramification, and even if you think it's worthy. Yeah, but it's interesting that they're quoting these two teachings, one in the name of his disciple, and the disciple then quoting him. And it's interesting that this Pninim Gemara, which is right on the cusp of all the latest versions, should include these little notes at the bottom that this was from Yeshua Notri. So what was Rabbi Eliezer's heresy? But here there's a much bigger rub than all of this, guys. Do you know that Rabbi Eliezer, more than any other Tana, do you know some stories in the Talmud about him and his use of sorcery? One second. Think about Metzia Daf Nun Ches. Does it sound familiar? We tried to prove to the rabbis that his position on Tano Shochnai. Well, but here's the issue. Rabbi Eliezer, you may know from some stories in the Talmud, does behave in ways that are quite questionable. Remember how he killed Rabban Gamliel? By davening Tachanun. Right? Right? You know, his wife, who's Rabban Gamliel's sister, who made sure that he would never say Tachanun because she feared that just by saying Tachanun, his grief would cause the death of her brother. And it did! She thought it was Rosh Chodesh, and it wasn't, so she wasn't on her guard to make sure he wouldn't say Tachanun. But she thought it was 2 days Rosh Chodesh, it was only 1 day Rosh Chodesh, and he said Tachanun, and Rabban Gamliel just died right then. And they were machaving, it was just at the same time.
Or I mean, it's earlier in that same Gemara where Eliezer tries to prove his position. You know what I'm talking about? When he says, if I'm right, let the tree go across the field, let the water start flowing, stopping and flowing the other way. How does Rabbi Eliezer use that kind of sorcery to prove his position in halacha? Right? So here is the point of these two Gemaras. Very simple. When the rabbis wanted to be critical of Jesus in the Talmud, they picked on two things: Znus and sorcery. Bilam was ripe for that kind of treatment. Bilam is a sorcerer. He's called Bilam HaKosem. And boy, did the rabbis lay it on thick about Bilam's sexual perversions. He sleeps with his donkey. He goes around with Znus and he sells himself to any buyer. So the rabbis picked on these two things and chose opportunities in the Talmud for ways to bring this across. Now, I must tell you that Peter Schaeffer, in his book, sees I don't like to go here with this, but I'm just telling you, he quotes some others who disagree with him. He sees that when the guy said, "What kind of Zakein like you should be involved in such stupidity?" Remember when he said that? Why is Zakein like you? An old man like you. What's the implication? An old man like you should be doing such things? Right? That there are implications of Znos. Do you agree? Do you hear it? Like, an old man was sorcery. Why not? An old man can be a sorcerer just like a young man. But when he's saying, old man like you, why are you being involved with such things, right? I don't like going here because, you know, Rabbi Eliezer, but Hyrcanus. But here's what all these Gemaras have in common, is that Znus and sorcery is the derech of the guys who follow in this direction. And we should have nothing to do with it, right? So the answer to our question, what was Rabbi Eliezer's heresy, let's keep it to... He heard teachings from Jesus, was aware that they were from Jesus, and didn't outright dismiss them. So I want to know halachically, can I use Esnan Zona for a toilet in the Beis HaMikdash? What does the Gemara have to say about that? The answer is no, because a toilet is also Bedek Abayis, and nothing can go to the Bedek Abayis from the Zona. And there you go. See what Jesus is busy teaching? He's busy teaching about toilets and Zonos. Typical.
Acher and
Rabbi Meir. This is quite a bit later than this.
Yeah, but we had the concept that you can take the good from the bad over there. Why not something similar?
Yeah, okay. I think then I mentioned the author of a book called Kosher Jesus last class. Did we talk about that book? Yeah, so... Okay, what can I say? Kosher Jesus. Certainly Acher is definitely a heretic. I'll tell you here, there are two Gemaras on this, one in Moikat and one in Chagiga, where both Gemaras ask, how could Rabbi Meir learn from Acher? And the Gemara give the two different answers. It's amazing. Two different answers. In other words, that you should only learn from someone if he's a Malach Hashem Tzvakos, but Sukim in Malachi. And one says that if you're on the level of Rabbi Meir, okay, you can choose, pick and choose what to learn and what not to learn. And the other Gemara just says categorically you can't. So, all right, but the two different Gemaras, why they're treated differently is a bit of a pella, but I would say that if you can say who to today's time, people say who's like Rabbi Meir to be able to differentiate. I might answer who's a heretic like Elisha ben Avuya that we have to worry about. You know, these heretics, we can see right through them. I'm smarter than they are, you know. But it's a big issue today, I have to tell you. I know I'm on tape now. It's a big issue. People on your show want to have certain scholar in residences to come for Shabbos and share their scholarship. And you know, you have to have some standard about, you know. I'm not going to have a scientist to come to speak my show about science if he doesn't believe in gravity. So why should I have someone to talk about Torah on a Shabbos who doesn't believe in Ma'amad Har Sinai? Right? Even though that encompasses a large section of the scholarly world.
And I have to have it. Excuse me. I have to reserve the right. It's my fiduciary obligation to my Orthodox shul that I set a certain standard. Right? Okay, I don't mean to take time from this one. Okay, let's go to the next Gemara, which is, of course, the most important one here, perhaps F, which we did already, which is the three things added to the specific people who lost their Olam Haba. Right? Sfarim, reading in Sfarim Chitzoniyim, come on, that's a natural. The Gemara itself says that's either the Apocrypha or some Rishonim started to refer to it as the Avon Gilyon. And here that says like the word evangelist. Avon Gilyon, the sinful pamphlet, meant to sound like, evangelical. Right? So we will be visiting some of the New Testament in this semester later on. From our standpoint, more like Da Masha Toshiv Lahem. Okay. But when our Mishnah says so emphatically, Afa Kori Yisroel Kitzoniyim, right? So the Gemara asks more specifically about the, what we call the Apocrypha, but we can say it about the New Testament also. Our Gemara says that Rabbi Eliezer was proficient with the New Testament, or at least with some of its teachings, and that Rabbi Gamliel, a Gemara we're about to see shortly, hopefully we'll get to it today, it was proficient in some of the major teachings of Jesus. So what do you mean? How could they know these if they didn't read the New Testament? So the answer is no. And if you, maybe you took me for intro, I mean, you did it post Pesach, I think, I remember a couple of years ago. So is that when we talk about not reading Sfarim Chitzoniyim, it doesn't mean you're not allowed to open it up and read it. All over the Talmud, there are indications that the rabbis read the Apocrypha and even the New Testament. The question is, the point is that it says don't read it as if though it's a book of Tanakh. What does that mean? If I have a normative halacha that says I should use red wine for kiddush, red wine is always better than white wine, no matter what the value is or the age. Red wine is always better. Why? Because of a pasuk in Mishlei. Al tira yayin ki yitadon. Right? Or if the Torah tells me what a ben sora mora does, And I take a pasuk in Mishlei that helps me understand what that is. That means that these Gemaras obviously feel that Mishlei is canonical. It's not just a book of nice proverbs, right? It is Bible. It's Tanakh. It's I'm learning things from it, deriving Torah messages from it. Now I can derive Musardic messages from Shakespeare too, and Ben Franklin, and all kinds of other wisdom and Confucius. But you understand the difference. Loyal means it's not called the Doraisa, but I can learn things from Yisrael Salanter's Musa book. What's wrong with that? But it's not, you don't consider it to be, let's say, an ironclad. I'll give a hard example for you. All right? There's a pasuk in Mishlei that confounds me personally as a parent. I'll get to it in a second. But before I get to that, I'll say that when the Talmud says that the reason why the Mishlei Ben Sira, are you familiar with that book? Mishlei Ben Sira, it's a book of the Apocrypha of Proverbs, that when the Talmud says Mishlei Ben Sira is not part of the canon of Tanakh, and the Gemara says, why not? He goes, it gives you some silly psukim that they don't like, they think are wrong. And a pasuk that's just wrong can't be in the Bible. So what's a pasuk I think is wrong in, say, from Mishlei, the one that's in the Bible, is this pasuk. Listen carefully. It says, Chosech Shivto Sone Beno. Loosely translated is spare the rod and spoil the child. If you do not use your rod, your stick, your belt, your whip generously with your children, you hate them. You're not raising them properly. Right? Now I'm old enough to remember teachers who beat kids. I'm talking punch, I'm talking get on top of them and
still have a picture of a sixth grade teacher doing that over and over and over. And when the father found out, he said, good, hit him more. Because the kid was rebellious. Right? Today, that teacher would be in handcuffs before the end of the day. Right? You give your kid a good patch on a city bus, there's a police officer waiting with handcuffs at the next stop. That's the environment today. And I don't disagree with much of it. I've never hit any of my kids. If I've had to discipline them, that's for sure. So what am I doing with this bus of Mishlev? Am I just throwing it out? No. That's what I would do if it was Mishlev and Sira. But because it's part of Tanakh, I have an obligation. I have to make this pasuk make sense. So what is Chosech Shivto? What does Shavit mean now? I can reinterpret Shavit not to mean the whip or the belt or the cane. Right? The Shavit is maybe my tongue. The Yishayahu refers to the tongue as Shavit. Shavit apo. He'll rebuke them with the lash of his tongue. Right? Do I hate my children because I've never beaten them? Apostle Tanakh says yes. So the answer is I will reinterpret it because it's canonical. So when the rabbis would read the New Testament, they would read it as Bible. They read it to be aware of what you know, if at all, Damashatoshev. You hear what I'm saying? So that's Akoribis for Mechitzonim. What else was there? Halochei Shal Hamaka. So that's certainly what Jesus was famous for, right? Curing people. You've seen all those evangelicals curing people. Maybe we can get someone, one of those guys here, and fix your head, your leg for you, right? And they would spit. They would do certain incantations, right? And they would say psukim. That's what you ever see. The Rambam in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah says that if you try to do this to heal people by saying psukim, you lose your olam haba. He codifies this Mishnah. He has the same bad things to say about people who put messages inside the mezuzah. You ever see that, Rambam? Inside of the mezuzah that you put in pictures or you put in extra words in order to have Tosefes Shmira, you lose your Olam Haba. And the third place where he says something like this in the Mishnah Torah is where he talks about people saying Tehillim and they think that the words of the Tehillim have the power to heal somebody. You lose your Olam Haba for thinking that. Rambam is very strict about this. People were becoming very superstitious and he wanted to quell that. So you know, now in the Tehillims, we have in the beginning of a lot of Tehillims, it says in the front page that you say, may all the letters and the oisiyos and the letters and all the words of Tehillim cure, you know, be served. So someone wrote that, I saw a tshuva in Moshe Sternbach's Tshuvas van Hogos. And he says, how does this fit in with, he disagrees with the Rambam. That the Tehillim sefers that's for him that put in those words disagree with the Rambam on this. The Rambam doesn't believe that we should say Tehillim? Of course he says we should say Tehillim. It's just that don't think that what's helping the situation is the words getting out of your mouth that attach itself to that person's heart disease and will cure him. No. But what Tehillim helps is that by you saying this, you change your mahus, now you're more likely to have your shamayim, and you're going to do the next mitzvah, and you're going to improve yourself, and you're going to improve the people around you, all because you said that Tehillim. That's what's going to help.
You can start Tehillim gatherings?
No, I don't think so. Because that's what they're doing in those Tehillim gatherings. But if they say, Chevra, may these letters, every word we say creates a letter, and the letter runs out of our mouths, and the letter attaches itself to that man's kidney, and now he's not going to need surgery anymore. That the Rambam would be against for sure, right? And to be sure, some of the Tehillim books actually say those kind of things. Okay, so that's called a machla shosamti b'mitzrayim lo'osim alach k'nishim afecha, that the person tries to cure people with words. That's exactly what Jesus was doing. That's in all over the New Testament, where he would take people on a hill or under a tree, and this person's blind, this person, just like the evangelicals do today. They take 20 people on the stage, and each one has a different man. He just touches them, he sprinkles some water, and they melt away. And then a minute later, I can see, right?
So that's the second one. And the third one is Hahoges Hashem Ba'osi Yosef, because he was curing people using God's name. Right? It's really fascinating. To reread this Mishnah this way is really something extraordinary. Especially since the Gemara is later, you really have to go through a lot. You get to get like the Tzadik test, you have to go through the middle of the Perek to get that far, where the Gemara start to talk about these things. And I know that the Encyclopedia Judaica, which you have here, which is quite emphatic. Oh no, I don't think I. There is a small piece, yeah. He's very, very insistent that Bilam is not Jesus in Chazal. I'm not so sure. Bilam is very important for Christian theology because he was the first person in the Torah to predict the specifics of Mashiach. Derach Kochav Miyakov, sound familiar? Right? So Jesus is all over. He's in the Sistine Chapel. Bilam is in the Sistine Chapel. Bilam is very important for Jesus' predictions. Okay? All right, so I think that because when our Mishnah says seven, that every Jew has Olam Haba, and there are seven exceptions. Doesn't everybody here agree that all those exceptions should be Jewish? Why did you exclude Bilam? Who said that Bilam has Olam Haba that you have to exclude him? Right, you go along? Did you mean? When Unculus calls back those people from the dead, I think I made reference to that Gemara before. He does call back Bilam and Jesus, but I will allow for some Bilam's references to be just plain Bilam. Sometimes a Bilam is just a Bilam. But the fact that Chazal saying here in this Gemara, this parak, that he was 34 when he died, and you know, the stage of Jesus in the New Testament when he died. And the fact that so many things are that seem to be similar, I think is significant. Let's turn to G, please. To Mishnah. It says Navu Zorah Dav Chav Zayin, a very important Gemara. Probably today and next Tuesday, finish this material with the Talmud, which will be the end of 3 and 4. And of course, the main crux of this course will be number 6, which we'll spend most of our time on. All right, so the Mishnah says, Misrapin mehen rifui. Okay, anyone see it? Anybody feel comfortable reading? You want to read? All right. Go ahead. Misrapin mehen rifui mamon.
Misrapin mehen rifui mamon. Aval lo rifui nefashos. The aim is to have him in hand, the whole on the right there. The Chamim Amrim, which is a Rabbin, is that what it says?
Yeah.
Which is a Rabbin, but there are a low, they know, they know.
Okay. There are two issues here. Refua, but be careful with Refua, because Refua is just what this guy is into. Right? And haircuts, that's awesome. Why haircuts? Ever hear that his mother was a hairdresser? So I'm also familiar. There's an Agadita in Maseches Megillah about Haman giving Mordechai a haircut. You ever hear that Agadita? That's an interesting thing because it must have been Rishus Rabbah. What about this Mishnah?
There's also the Gemara about the Malach Amandas killing the wrong Miriam, the haircut.
Yes, 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 yes. You got the name wrong. It was a Miriam here and a Miriam there, right? Okay, let's read the Gemara. My Rifui Mamon and my Rifui Nefashos. Continue. Ilema
Rifui Mamon, Besar Rifui Nefashos, Bechinam, Leisne, Misrapin.
Say it, be more specific. In other words, if this is what the difference is, the Gemara should say so. Mishnah should say so. Don't leave it up to our imagination what this is.
Sorry, I'm sorry about the Bechinam.
No, it's, so that's not what it is. Rather, what is the difference between Bifur Mammon and Bifur Nefashos? Oh, Mammon is just, oh, I'm losing money. If I don't get this cure from him, I'll just have to spend more money later or something. I'll lose two more days of work. But Rifur Nefashos is, if I don't get this Rifur, I'm going to die. Right? Homa Rav Yehuda. Rivda de Kusilsa. Rivda de Kusilsa lo matsinon minayu. Rivda Kusilsa is like a small kli that pulls out a little blood. It's like a little needle. A little lancet. Is that what you mean?
For bloodletting?
Yeah. You shouldn't use them for even the smallest thing you shouldn't use them for. Certainly not for a major surgery. Ella, what's the difference
between
Mammon means a refuah of something that belongs to him. And I'm not talking about fixing his vacuum cleaner. I'm talking about fixing his cow or his dog or something. If a Mammon behemto, if a nefashos gufe, whatever it is, but his own goof. Behind him, Rabbi Yehuda, afilu rivda de kusilsa lo matzinon minayu. So what did Rabbi Yehuda mean when he said rivda de kusilsa? Surely that's on his goof. Right. So you're right. Don't let him actually touch your body, but you can go to him and try to find some kind of, medicine. Why? What? Because he's not going to lie to you about that, because he wants to maintain his reputation that he's giving good prescriptions for medicines. Continue. Turn the page. You have to turn to a new page if you're in my chaveret.
Sover
ha'ovi kol chavim would think shiuli kamash mishael. But this is what I just said. Is that he'll be careful. He's not going to purposely say, "Oh, let me get at this guy. I'm going to tell him a bad medicine, and he'll kill him." Okay. If it's just a suffix, whether you're going to live or die. All right, don't go to them, because maybe you'll live. But if you know that you're going to die if you don't do the refuah, right? Adai meis misra, then you can go to them, because it's safek pikuach nefesh. I'm saying vadai pikuach nefesh. You know you're going to die, right? Now this does not sound like what we learned in Masechet Shabbos, where even a safek fake of pikuach nefesh is doche Shabbos, doche Yom Kippur. But here, he knows if he doesn't get this medicine from this guy. Now, wait a second. He said, "I know you will die tomorrow if you don't take this medicine." Now, you could take the medicine, you're still going to die, right? Medicine is always a suffix, isn't it? But if you know you're going to die if you don't take this medicine, then take it. Take the refuah, take whatever he wants to do for you. This Christian. Right? Vadai meis misrap mehem. Okay, I know what the aleph is. Misrap mehem. Vadai meis misrap mehem ha'ikah chay shah. Vadai meis misrap mehem ha'ikah chay shah. The chay shah lo chay shina. In other words, you see what he's saying. Vadai meis. What is it that we're afraid of? Two things. One is that this guy is going to, like, the barber, he's going to snip your carotid artery and say, "Oh, I'm sorry, you're afraid of he's going to kill you." But or you're afraid that you shouldn't be taking refuah from such a heretic. He's going to thank his God, and he's going to prove to others, because of what he did for you, that everyone else should follow him into his minus. Right? Right? But here the Gemara is saying something else. Here the Gemara is saying, Vaday meis misrapin mehen ha'iko chai ishah. In other words, why should you accept his even vaday meis? Maybe you'll live another 2 days, but maybe if you take his medication, it'll kill you right away. There's always that suffix also. How do you know that he's going to give you something that's going to make you live? No, the difference between dying right away because he's giving you a bad medication, remember we just said at the top of the page, he's going to avoid doing that because of his own reputation. Alright, he's giving a proof from the former Tzoroim who were in the camp of the Arameans, where they were starving to death, and they felt that if they knock on the door of the Aramean siege, that they'll kill them on the spot. But if they said that if we don't do that, we're certainly going to die, so at least let's give ourselves a chance. And what did they see when they got there? They saw the place was empty. Everybody had left. God made them hear, think that they heard an oncoming army, and they all left. And these four Mitzrayim were left with an empty camp. Let's try to finish this right here. So, Meisvei lo yisavi yitein adam im haminin ve'in misrapin mehen afilu l'chai shah. But the Brisa says that you can't take anything, no curing whatsoever from a min, even for the moment. Maseh b'ven dama ben achoso shor b'yishmael she'akishu nachash. See what I underlined? This guy, a snake bit him. Uvo Yaakov ish kfar schanya. Remember him? He was in our earlier Gemara there with Rabbi Eliezer. L'raposo. And he came out to cure him. V'lo hanicho. Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael himself didn't let him. Wonder what his sister thought of that. V'amale Rabbi Yishmael. Achi hanachlo v'erafei. And he said to him, Rabbi Yaakov v'schanya, he said, Yishmael Achi, he called him rabbi, and he said, my brother, let me cure him. V'ani avi mikra min ha-Torah shehu muta. V'lo hi speak l'gmaris ha-davar ad she'yotzta nipshmaso. Umeis. He says, I'll prove to you from a pasuk in the Torah that I can cure him. He was going to prove to him, v'chai b'hem. In other words, that you should always do everything you need to in order to live. And before he had a chance to tell him why he should be able to cure him, the kid died. The Kara lover of Yishmael, Ashrecha ben Dama, Shegufcha Tahor, V'yatzta Nishmascha B'tahara. Ashrecha, that your neshama left this world, B'tahara. Do you know, you ever hear what's very famous about this little Gemara here? No? That Rashi died while writing his commentary to these words. Have you heard this? Have you heard that? Rashi wrote his commentary to the Talmud a few times. He wrote it, he edited it, he was writing it over. And that he died on Chav Tes Tammuz in the year 1105 while writing the Dibra Mascha for these words of the Gemara. V'yatzda nishmascha b'tahara. And then what they did was they just took the older Rashi, the earlier Rashi, to fill it in.
That's like a basin.
He was writing the word Tahara when he died. He was editing his own work, and he was up to this word in Maseches Avodah Zarah. Right, I'm just putting it out there because that's the page we're doing. But what do we see from here? That the avoidance of curing from the students of Jesus was so significant. How do I know Jesus from here? I hear heretic. How do I know Jesus? Misrapin mehen rifui mamon is talking about this mesechta, Avodah Zarah. Because the emergence of this guy, Yaakov Ish Kfar Schanya, we had him in our last Gemara, shows that the rabbis at all costs avoided any connection to the curing, the curations of the students of Jesus. Okay. Just two more Gemaras. These are, I think, the two most creative ones. H and I. And then we'll just answer the question, how conversant were the rabbis with the Gospels? The 9th of Teves and the 13th of Nisan, maybe we might get up to by the end of next week. And then we're ready for really the bread and butter of this course, since it is a Bible course, which is number 6. Okay? I just want to get through these earlier things, and that's going to really be the bread and butter. So for next class, please look at these two Gemaras. One is Shabbos Daf Kuf Dalad Amud Aleph, which talks about tattoos and writing on skin. And the Gemara in Bechoros Daf Ches Amud Aleph. If you haven't seen this Gemara in Bechoros, just do the whole sugi, because it's, and you have to do it with art scrolls. You'll never figure out what it means. This is the story of Rabbi Yehoshua and the sages of Athens. Have you heard of it? Have you learned it? Yeah. Obviously, you have to do with the Vilna Gaon or maybe the Marashah. But just the Pshat and the Gemara will confound you. Do you know, Danny, if it went through this thing? Do you know if it went through? Oh, yeah. Can you give me your phone number?